Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text on this Pentecost is written in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. We read verses 6 to 14. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our exalted Savior, dear fellow redeemed, the city was astir with commotion and excitement. Streets were jam-packed. Thousands of visitors had come to Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire. They'd made the journey to Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish national festival day of Pentecost, which is similar to our Thanksgiving. And it fell 50 days after Passover, which is why they called it Pentecost. Pentecost means 50th day. And the people had left their native countries to go to Jerusalem. They could not have known the amazing things that would happen there. They had no reason to think this Pentecost would be any different than any other festival of Pentecost they had celebrated. They would go to Jerusalem, present a thank offering to the Lord for the harvest, praise Him at the temple. When the festival was over, they would return, as usual, to their everyday routines. They thought. It didn't happen that way. This Pentecost proved to be one of a kind. They would return home knowing something that would transform their hearts and completely overhaul their thinking and their living. What did they learn? In the words of our sermon theme, they learned about God's salvation secret. And that's the message we're going to focus our hearts upon this morning on this Pentecost Festival 2018. God's salvation secret, which remains still today unknown to the ungodly world, which is hidden away in the gospel of Christ, and which is still revealed to people today by the miraculous working of God the Holy Spirit. First, let's consider what God has done to save sinful mankind, how that blessed work in Jesus remains indeed still today a secret. You know, a person could spend their entire lifetime searching for the truth about God, about how He is, how He thinks, what He has done to save us and reconcile us to Himself in Jesus. He would not be able to discover it on his own. Two Bible examples I might share. There are many of them, but two from Paul's journeys, his missionary journeys. When he came to the city of Corinth, to whom he wrote this letter to the Christians there many years later who had become Christians. Commercial trade center, a worldly wise city of nearly a million inhabitants, roughly the size of the city of Denver. No one was there who had discovered the truth about what God had done for them in Jesus. When Paul came to Athens, same thing. He observed lots of objects of worship, a lot of altars as he went among the boulevards of the city to all kinds of different gods and goddesses of the Roman pantheon. He noticed how the Athenians were very, very religious. But what they knew nothing about is the true and living God who had sent his Son in love to redeem them. And then he shared with the citizens that good news. What about today? Someone might say, well, man's come a long way since those backward times when people actually worshiped mythological gods like Zeus. Today, people know better than that. They recognize the foolishness, don't they, of putting their trust in gods that people conjure up in their own minds. They know they can't get into God's good favor by offering a few sacrifices, by praying extra hard, doing outwardly religious things. But no, as we look around in the world, don't we see that the truth is that man has made no progress in the realm of spiritual matters. He's just as ignorant by nature and inclined to put his trust in silly idols as the people living back in the days of the Apostle Paul, because his understanding is by nature still darkened by sin and his heart steeped in spiritual ignorance, as all people are by nature. A few examples of this in the modern day: consider the nation of India, Hinduism. People worship and pay homage to elephant gods and many other animal deities like monkeys and snakes. In the Middle East and many other portions of the world, people are ardently devoted to the idol god Allah, invented by a man named Muhammad. Black magic and spiritism are widely practiced by natives in Africa, as our missionaries over there have found. Many believe you can acquire information about your life that will happen in the future by consulting or getting and listening to services of a psychic. I remember when I was pastor in Dallas years ago, there was a sign by the side of the road near the church that invited people to enlist the services of palm readers. Probably have those around Denver too, I don't know. So how far has man come in leaving behind the foolish idols of the Athens and Corinth of Paul's day? Not a single inch. The truth about the true God and what he did in love to rescue fallen mankind in his Son remains a mystery. As Paul says here, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But for someone to know the truth about God and what he did to save us, they need someone with a capital S, to remove their natural way of reasoning and put in them a new mind and heart. And that someone is the Holy Spirit. It's what he did for thousands on Pentecost and continues to do for people in the world today. How? How does he accomplish that miracle. What tool did he and does he use today? He does it through the good news message of the gospel, where his salvation secret lies hidden away, the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ was delivered up for our offenses and raised for our justification. The news that because of Jesus, his work in our behalf, our holy and righteous God does not deal with sinners according to how they deserve, not according to their iniquities, but on the basis of his boundless love in Christ, who came down from heaven for the very purpose of living a holy life in our place and suffering our punishment so that we might never need to. Now this news, dear friends, is so wonderful and so special. It seems almost too good to be true that God would pour out upon us all the blessings of his grace and mercy in Christ, freely and liberally, expecting nothing from us in return except our thanks. Herein lies the glory of the gospel. The unbelievable is true. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, because if they had, they would not have crucified Jesus. That's the tool, powerful tool, God continues to use to work in hearts the good news that Jesus, he's my Savior. Now on this Pentecost festival, we praise the Lord for this, and we do that because we know that we too were by nature in the dark about God's salvation secret. We could not see its beauty. We could not appreciate what our Lord has done. But now we know. Now we see with crystal clarity what God has prepared for us who love him. In his undeserved love, he has given to us the priceless treasure of forgiveness for our sins and eternal life in Christ. As Paul writes in Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace, and there is now laid up for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award us on that day, and not only to us, but also to all who have longed for his reappearing. Now today is the day of Pentecost, Festival of the Holy Spirit. And again, we want to be reminded that he is the someone, he is the person of the triune God who has blessed us with this ability to see the wonderful works of God for our salvation. When Jesus was gathered with his disciples that night before he died on the cross, he made that promise, as we heard in our reading from the gospel. He repeated it again. He said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I have told you. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own, but he'll speak only what he hears and will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. That's exactly what he has done for the crowd on that day, 3,000 plus, and also for you and me. And he's eminently qualified to do this because, as Paul says here, the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit has perfect comprehension of divine things, and he can tell us about God, what he did to save us, how he thinks, what he did to make us his children through Jesus, because he himself is God. He not only comes to us from heaven to disclose to us the hidden mystery, the facts of Jesus' life and death. I mean, even people of the world know about the facts, but also he gives us the ability to say that he did it for me, to say, Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God forever does for sinners plead for me, e'en for my soul was shed. Glorious work of the Holy Spirit, leading us to know that Jesus is not just a Savior, he's my Lord and Savior. And we should also praise him for his blessed work of keeping us in the faith as Christians and of making us more mature Christians whose lives are filled more and more with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us to faith by the gospel, and by that same gospel, he enables us to be conformed ever more closely to the holy image of Christ. You might ask lots of questions like, who blesses us with the sevenfold gifts of wisdom, counsel, knowledge, understanding, fortitude, piety, and the fear of the Lord? Who furnishes husbands and wives with ability to fulfill their marriage vows and to treat each other with kindness, patience, and love? Who helps children to honor, love, and obey their parents? Who empowers God's people to keep themselves from being polluted by the immorality and the godlessness of the society in which they live? Who leads them to set their hearts on things above and not on earthly things, and to know, as we have on our church sign right now, that the best things in life aren't things. There's more. There is Jesus. Who helps you to lay aside your worries and anxious cares and to find comfort in the knowledge that your life rests safely in the hands of your Heavenly Father? Who makes committed church members and gathers them at God's house each week to worship their Lord? Who leads us to be eager Bible students and Bible readers? Who inspires us to support God's kingdom work with our time and our talents and our treasures? And who is it that leads us to live daily lives of repentance, laying the burden of our guilt and sin at the foot of Jesus' cross, and to rejoice in the good news of his forgiving love? It's all the work of God the Holy Spirit, who empowers us by the gospel to do these things, to live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died for us and who rose again. And so, yes, we praise him. We offer this Pentecost petition. Holy Spirit, hear us on this sacred day. Come to us with blessing. Come with us to stay. Come as once thou camest to the faithful few, patiently awaiting Jesus' promise true. Spirit of adoption, make us overflow with thy sevenfold blessing and in grace to grow. Into Christ baptized, grant that we may be day and night, dear Spirit, perfected by thee. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your thoughts and your hearts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.